Chapter 4. Execution. No plan of operations goes with any degree of certainty to beyond the first contact with the hostile main force. Field Marshal Helmuth von Moltke. This chapter defines, describes, and offers guidelines for effective execution. It describes the roles of the commander and staff during execution, followed by a discussion of the major activities of execution. It concludes with a discussion of the rapid decision-making and synchronization process. Fundamentals of execution. Execution is the act of putting a plan into action by applying combat power to accomplish the mission and adjusting operations based on changes in the situation. In execution, commanders, staffs, and subordinate commanders focus their efforts on translating decisions into actions. They direct action to apply combat power at decisive points and times to achieve objectives and accomplish missions. Inherent in execution is deciding whether to execute planned actions, such as phases, branches, and sequels, or to modify the plan based on unforeseen opportunities or threats. Commanders fight the enemy, not the plan. Moltke's dictum above, rather than condemning the value of planning, reminds commanders, staffs, and subordinate unit leaders the proper relationship between planning and execution. A plan provides a reasonable forecast of execution. However, it remains a starting point, not an exact script to follow. As General George S. Patton, Jr. cautioned, one makes plans to fit circumstances and does not try to create circumstances to fit plans. During execution, the situation may change rapidly. Operations the commander envisioned in the plan may bear little resemblance to actual events in execution. Subordinate commanders need maximum latitude to take advantage of situations and meet the higher commander's intent when the original order no longer applies. Effective execution requires leaders trained in independent decision-making, aggressiveness, and risk-taking in an environment of mission command. Guides to effective execution. I am heartily tired of hearing about what Lee is going to do. Some of you always seem to think he is suddenly going to turn a double somersault and land in our rear on both of our flanks at the same time. Go back to your command and try to think what we are going to do ourselves instead of what Lee is going to do. Lieutenant General Ulysses S. Grant. Execution is a concerted effort to seize and retain the initiative, maintain momentum, and exploit success. Initiative is fundamental to success in any operation, yet simply seizing the initiative is not enough. A sudden barrage of precision munitions may surprise and disorganize the enemy, but if not followed by swift and relentless action, the friendly advantage diminishes and disappears. Successful operations maintain the momentum generated by initiative and exploit successes within the commander's intent. Guides to effective execution include: seize and retain the initiative. Build and maintain momentum. Exploit success. Seize and retain the initiative. Operationally, initiative is setting or dictating the terms of action during operations. Army forces do this by forcing the enemy to respond to friendly actions. By presenting the enemy with multiple cross-domain dilemmas, commanders force the enemy to react continuously until the enemy is finally driven into untenable positions. Seizing the initiative pressures enemy commanders into abandoning their preferred options and making costly mistakes. As enemy mistakes occur, friendly forces apply continuous pressure to prevent the enemy from recovering. These actions enable friendly forces to seize opportunities and create new avenues for an exploitation. Seizing the initiative ultimately results from forcing an enemy reaction. Commanders identify times and places where they can mask the effects of combat power to relative advantage. To compel a reaction, they threaten something the enemy cares about, such as its center of gravity or decisive points leading to it. By forcing the enemy to react, commanders initiate an action-to-reaction sequence that ultimately reduces enemy options to zero. Each action develops the situation further and reduces the number of possibilities to be considered, thereby reducing friendly uncertainty. Each time the enemy must react, its uncertainty increases. Developing the situation by forcing the enemy to react is the essence of seizing the initiative. Retaining the initiative involves applying unrelenting pressure on the enemy. Commanders do this by synchronizing the warfighting functions to present enemy commanders with continuously changing combinations of combat power at a tempo they cannot effectively counter. commanders and staffs use information collection assets to identify enemy attempts to regain the initiative. During execution, commanders create a seamless, uninterrupted series of actions that forces enemies to react immediately and does not allow them to regain synchronization. Ideally, these actions present enemies with multiple dilemmas, the solutions to any one of which increases the enemy's vulnerability to other elements of combat power. Take action. I have found again and again that in encounter actions, the day goes to the side that is first to plaster its opponent with fire. The man who lies low and awaits developments usually comes off second best. Field Marshal Erwin Rommel. Commanders and their subordinate leaders create conditions for seizing the initiative with action. Without action, seizing the initiative is impossible. Faced with an uncertain situation, there is a natural tendency to hesitate and gather more information to reduce the uncertainty. Although waiting and gathering information might reduce uncertainty, such inaction will not eliminate it. Waiting may even increase uncertainty by providing the enemy with time to seize the initiative. Effective leaders can manage uncertainty by acting and developing the situation. When the immediate situation is unclear, commanders clarify it by action, not by sitting and gathering information. Create and exploit opportunities. Events that offer better ways to success are opportunities. Commanders recognize opportunities by continuously monitoring and evaluating the situation. Failure to understand the opportunities inherent in an enemy's action can surrender the initiative. CCIRs must include information requirements that support exploiting opportunities. Commanders encourage subordinates to act within the commander's intent as opportunities occur. Shared understanding of the commander's intent creates an atmosphere conducive to subordinates exercising initiative. Accept risk. Uncertainty and risk are inherent in all military operations. Recognizing and acting on opportunity means taking risks. Reasonably estimating and intentionally accepting risk is not gambling. Carefully determining the risks, analyzing and minimizing as many hazards as possible, and executing a plan that accounts for those hazards contributes to successfully applying military force. Gambling, in contrast, is imprudently staking the success of an entire action on a single improbable event. Commanders assess risk by answering three questions. Am I minimizing the risk of friendly losses? Am I risking the success of the operation? Am I minimizing the risk of civilian casualties and collateral damage? When commanders embrace opportunity, they accept risk. It is counterproductive to wait for perfect preparation and synchronization. The time taken to fully synchronize forces and warfighting functions in a detailed order could mean a lost opportunity. It is far better to quickly summarize the essentials, get things moving, and send the details later. Leaders optimize the use of time with war ords, frag ords, and verbal updates. Commanders exercise the art of command when deciding how much risk to accept. The commander has several techniques available to reduce the risk associated in a specific operation. Some techniques for reducing risk take resources from the decisive operation, which reduces the concentration of effects at the decisive point. See ADP 3-90 for a detailed discussion of the art of tactics and risk reduction. Build and maintain momentum. Momentum comes from seizing the initiative and executing decisive, shaping, and sustaining operations at a rapid and sustainable tempo. Momentum allows commanders to create opportunities to engage the enemy from unexpected directions with unanticipated capabilities. Having seized the initiative, commanders continue to control the relative momentum by maintaining focus and pressure and controlling the tempo. They ensure that they maintain momentum by anticipating transitions and moving rapidly between types of operations. Speed promotes surprise and can compensate for lack of forces. It magnifies the impact of success in seizing the initiative. By executing at a rapid tempo, Army forces present the enemy with new problems before it can solve current ones. Rapid tempo should not degenerate into haste. Ill-informed and hasty action usually precludes effective combinations of combat power. It may lead to unnecessary casualties. The condition of the enemy force dictates the degree of synchronization necessary. When confronted by a coherent and disciplined enemy, commanders may slow the tempo to deliver synchronized attacks. As the enemy force loses cohesion, commanders increase the tempo, seeking to accelerate the enemy's morale and physical collapse. Exploit success. Ultimately, only successes that achieve the end state count. To determine how to exploit tactical and operational successes, commanders assess them in terms of the higher commander's intent. However, success will likely occur in ways unanticipated in the plan. Commanders may gain an objective in an unexpected way. Success signals a rapid assessment to answer these questions. Does the success generate opportunities that more easily accomplish the objectives? Does it suggest other lines of operations or lines of effort? Does it cause commanders to change their overall intent? Should the force transition to a sequel? Should the force accelerate the phasing of the operation? An exploitation demands assessment and understanding of the impact on sustaining operations. Sustainment provides the means to exploit success and convert it into decisive results. Sustainment preserves the freedom of action necessary to take advantage of opportunity. Commanders remain fully aware of the status of units and anticipate sustainment requirements. They recognize that sustainment often determines the depth to which Army forces exploit success. Responsibilities during execution. To be at the head of a strong column of troops in the execution of some task that requires brain is the highest pleasure of war, a grim one and terrible, but which leaves on the mind and memory the strongest mark. To detect the weak point of an enemy's line, to break through with vehemence and thus lead to victory, or to discover some key point and hold it with tenacity, or to do some other distinct act which is afterward recognized as the real cause of success. General William T. Sherman. During execution, commanders focus their activities on directing, assessing, and leading, while improving their understanding and modifying their visualization. Initially, commanders direct the transition from planning to execution as the order is issued and the responsibility for integration passes from the plan cell to the current operations integration cell. During execution, the staff directs units within delegated authority to keep the operation progressing successfully. Assessing allows the commander and staff to determine the existence and significance of variances from the operations as envisioned in the initial plan. The staff makes recommendations to the commander about what action to take concerning identified variances in the plan. During execution, leading is as important as decision-making, since commanders influence subordinates by providing purpose, direction, and motivation. Commanders, seconds in command, and command sergeants major. During execution, commanders locate where they can best exercise command and sense the operations. Sometimes this is at the command post. Other times it is forward with a command group. Effective commanders balance the need to make personal observations, provide command presence, and sense the mood of subordinates from forward locations with their ability to maintain command and control continuity with the entire force. No matter where they are located, commanders are always looking beyond the current operation to anticipate the next operation. Seconds in command, deputy commanders, executive officers, are a key command resource during execution. First, they can serve as senior advisors to their commander. Second, they may oversee a specific warfighting function, for example, sustainment. Finally, they can command a specific operation, such as a gap crossing, area, or part of the unit, such as the covering force, for the commander. The command sergeant major provides another set of senior eyes to assist the commander. The command sergeant major assists the commander with assessing operations, as well as assessing the condition and morale of forces. In addition, the command sergeant major provides leadership and expertise to units and soldiers at critical locations and times during execution. Staff. The chief of staff, or executive officer, is the commander's principal assistant for directing, coordinating, and supervising the staff. During execution, the chief of staff or executive officer must anticipate events and integrate the efforts of the whole staff to ensure operations are proceeding in accordance with the commander's intent and visualization. The chief of staff or executive officer assists the commander with coordinating efforts among the plans, future operations, and current operations integration cells. In execution, the staff, primarily through the current operations integration cell, integrates forces and warfighting functions to accomplish the mission. The current operations integration cell is the integrating cell in the command post with primary responsibility for coordinating and directing execution. Staff members in the current operations integration cell actively assist the commander and subordinate units in controlling the current operation. They provide information, synchronize staff and subordinate unit or echelon activities, and coordinate support requests from subordinates. The current operations integration cell solves problems and acts within the authority delegated by the commander. It also performs some short-range planning using the rapid decision-making and synchronization process. Execution activities. The commander's mission is contained in the orders which he has received. Nevertheless, a commander of a subordinate unit cannot plead absence of orders or the non-receipt of orders as an excuse for inactivity in a situation where action on his part is essential or where a change in the situation upon which the issued orders were based renders such orders impractical or impossible of execution. FM 100-5, Operations, 1941. Execution entails putting the plan into action and adjusting the plan based on changing circumstances. Friction and uncertainty, especially enemy actions, dynamically affect plans. An accurate situational understanding that accounts for new realities that affect plans provides the basis for commanders to exploit opportunities or counter threats. Major activities of execution include assessment, decision-making, directing action. Assessment. During execution, assessment helps commanders visualize probable outcomes and determine whether they need to change the plan to accomplish the mission, take advantage of opportunities, or react to unexpected threats. Assessment includes both monitoring the situation and evaluating progress. Monitoring, the continuous observation of those conditions relevant to the current operation, allows commanders and staffs to improve their understanding of the situation. Evaluation, using indicators to measure change in the situation and judge progress, allows commanders to identify variances, their significance, and if a decision is required to alter the plan. A variance is a difference between the actual situation during an operation and the forecasted plan for the situation at that time or event. A variance can be categorized as an opportunity or threat. The first form of variance is an opportunity to accomplish the mission more effectively. Opportunities result from forecasted or unexpected success. When commanders recognize an opportunity, they alter the order to exploit it if the change achieves the end state more effectively or efficiently. The second form of variance is a threat to mission accomplishment or survival of the force. When recognizing a threat, the commander adjusts the order to eliminate the enemy advantage, restore the friendly advantage, and regain the initiative. Decision-making. In war, obscurity and confusion are normal. Late, exaggerated, or misleading information, surprise situations, and counterorders are to be expected. Infantry in Battle, 1939. When operations are progressing satisfactorily, variances are minor and within acceptable levels. Commanders who make this evaluation, explicitly or implicitly, allow operations to continue according to the plan. Plans usually identify some decision points. However, unexpected enemy actions or other changes often present situations that require unanticipated decisions. Commanders act when these decisions are required. As commanders assess the operation, they describe their impressions to staffs and subordinates, and then discuss the desirability of choices available. Once commanders make decisions, their staffs transmit the necessary directives, normally in a frag order. Decisions made during execution are either execution decisions or adjustment decisions. Execution decisions. Execution decisions implement a planned action under circumstances anticipated in the order, such as changing a boundary, committing the reserve, or executing a branch plan. In their most basic form, execution decisions are decisions the commander foresees and identifies for execution during an operation. Commanders are responsible for those decisions, but may direct the chief of staff, executive officer, or staff officer to supervise implementation. The current operations integration cell oversees the synchronization and integration needed to implement execution decisions. Adjustment decisions. Adjustment decisions modify the operation to respond to unanticipated opportunities and threats. They often require implementing unanticipated operations and resynchronizing the warfighting functions. Commanders make these decisions, delegating implementing authority only after directing the major change themselves. Adjustments may take one of three forms: reallocating resources, changing the concept of operations, changing the mission. The simplest adjustment is reallocating resources. This normally provides additional assets to the decisive operation. However, some situations may require reinforcing a shaping operations. Changing the concept of operations adjusts the way the force executes the operation without changing the mission. Commanders normally do this to exploit an unplanned opportunity or counter an unexpected threat. When reallocating resources or changing the concept of operations does not solve a problem hampering mission accomplishment, the commander may have to change the mission. Commanders change the mission only as a last resort. When they do, the new mission still must accomplish the higher commander's intent. Decision-making tools. Several decision support tools assist the commander and staff during execution. Among the most important are the decision support template, decision support matrix, execution matrix, and execution checklist. The current operations integration cell uses these tools, among others, to help control operations and to determine when anticipated decisions are coming up for execution. The decision support template depicts decision points, timelines associated with movement of forces, and the flow of the operation, and other key items of information required to execute a specific friendly COA. Part of the decision support template is the decision support matrix, a written record of a war-gamed course of action that describes decision points and associated actions at those decision points. The decision support matrix lists decision points, locations of decision points, criteria to be evaluated at decision points, actions that occur at decision points, and the units responsible to act on the decision points.
Vignette: Decision-Making During Execution, Chamberlain at Little Round Top. At 1630, on 2 July 1863, near Little Round Top, a rocky hill near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Colonel Joshua Chamberlain's 358 remaining soldiers of the 20th Maine Regiment were ordered into a defensive line. Minutes later, they came under a violent frontal assault by the 47th Alabama Regiment. While the 20th Maine was repulsing this assault, an officer rushed up to Chamberlain and informed him that another large enemy force was moving to attack their exposed left flank. Chamberlain immediately ordered a new defensive line at right angles to his existing line. He shifted the entire regiment to the left and back while maintaining continuous fire to the front and masking the movement of his left flank. Minutes later, the 20th Maine was assaulted by the 15th Alabama Regiment. During that assault, the 20th Maine fired 20,000 rounds, suffering 30% dead and wounded. Chamberlain was bleeding and bruised. His foot bled from a shell fragment, and his thigh was severely bruised after a musket ball had struck his scabbard. The 20th Maine miraculously withstood six charges before they ran out of ammunition. Chamberlain, fearing an overwhelming, decimating rebel attack, realized that by withdrawing he would be giving up key terrain as well as the battle. To the astonishment of his subordinates, he ordered a bayonet charge with the enemy, beginning another fierce charge from only 30 yards. The left half of his regiment began the charge, stunning the Confederates before them. As they came abreast of their own right half, Chamberlain raised high his saber and shouted, "Fix bayonets!" Running downhill, Chamberlain and his men had the clear advantage over the tired rebels. The Alabama men were shocked and fell back. A company of Chamberlain's men, who had formed a screen line on the left flank, began firing into the panic-stricken Confederates, who, even though they outnumbered the 20th Maine 3-1, did not realize the strength of their numbers. Fearing the worst for his troops, Colonel William C. Oates, the commander of the Alabama regiments, ordered a breakout that turned into a rout and the capture of more than 400 of his men. Afterwards, Chamberlain was awarded the Medal of Honor. His actions serve as one of the finest examples of what a combat leader must be able to be and do to exercise effective mission command.
An execution matrix is a visual representation of subordinate tasks in relationship to each other over time. An operation can have multiple execution matrices. An execution matrix can cover the entire force for the duration of an operation, a specific portion of an operation, such as an air assault execution matrix, or for a specific warfighting function, such as a fire support execution matrix. Commanders and staffs use the execution matrix to control, synchronize, and adjust operations as required. An execution checklist is a distillation of the execution matrix that lists key actions sequentially, units responsible for the action, and an associated code word to quickly provide shared understanding among the commander, staff, and subordinate units on initiation or completion of the action. Directing action. To implement execution or adjustment decisions, commanders direct actions that apply combat power. Based on the commander's decision and guidance, the staff resynchronizes the operation to mass the maximum effects of combat power to seize, retain, and exploit the initiative. This involves synchronizing the operations in time, space, and purpose, and issuing directives to subordinates. When modifying the plan, commanders and staffs seek to make the fewest changes possible, facilitate future operations. Commanders make only those changes to the plan needed to correct variances. As much as possible, they keep the current plan the same to present subordinates with the fewest possible changes. Whenever possible, commanders ensure that changes do not preclude options for future operations. This is especially important for echelons above brigade. Rapid decision-making and synchronization process. The RDSP is a decision-making and planning technique that commanders and staffs commonly use during execution. While the MDMP seeks the optimal solution, the RDSP seeks a timely and effective solution within the commander's intent, mission, and concept of operations. Using the RDSP lets leaders avoid the time-consuming requirements of developing decision criteria and multiple COAs. Under the RDSP, leaders combine their experiences and intuition to quickly understand the situation, develop a viable option, and direct adjustments to the current order. When using this technique, the following considerations apply. Rapid is often more important than detailed analysis. Much of it may be mental rather than written. It should become a battle drill for the current operations integration cells, future operation cells, or both. The RDSP is based on an existing order and the commander's priorities as expressed in the order. The most important of these are the commander's intent, concept of operations, and CCIRs. The RDSP includes 5 steps. Commanders perform the first 2, as denoted in the oval, in any order, including concurrently. The last 3, as denoted in the rectangle, are performed interactively until commanders identify a feasible, acceptable, and suitable COA. The RDSP results in changes to the current order. Commanders often issue orders to subordinates verbally in situations requiring quick reactions. At battalion and higher levels, written fragords confirm verbal orders to ensure synchronization, integration, and notification of all parts of the force. If time permits, leaders verify that subordinates understand critical tasks. Methods for doing this include the confirmation brief and back brief. See FM60 for a detailed discussion of the RDSP.